Well, guys, Lee and Jenny have been with our church family now for about almost 2 years now, right?
2 years, end of this month.
2 years, And I just want to tell you guys, it's an honor for me to be able to introduce Lee. He's going to share the message with you today. So, guys, just give it up for Lee.
Thank you. But usually I'm outstanding in my field, usually. But it's been raining so much, so I can't get out in the fields to plant my seeds. Okay? Kind of a little something. But we'd just like to welcome everyone here this morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning. We was able to get up this morning and be able to be here in church, and we're thankful for that. But there's some of us that didn't have that opportunity. Some that might have went into the hospital on Friday, and they passed away this morning. Some dear friends of ours, a friend of ours. So be praying for them too. So before we get started, I see everybody's putting these up. Hold your Bible. Tell God what this really means to him, okay? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can be what it says I can be. And I'll strive to live as it says I should live. It contains the written word of God. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I boldly stand upon the claim, the promises, hope is found within. Amen. How many of you have just ever wondered why things happen the way they do in our lives? If you're like me, you wondered why some things don't happen the way that I would want them to happen in my life. And what causes these things to happen in our lives in the first place? Well, that's what I want to talk to you about today. It's a universal law established by God called the law of the harvest. In Genesis 8:22, the Bible tells us, as long as the earth endures, there will be a seed time and harvest. And then in Galatians 6 and 7, it also tells us, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Notice it doesn't say a man might reap what he sows. Sometimes seeds are planted and they come running forward. Perfect. I love that. Wonder if he was reaping what he was sowing right there, huh? So a man reaps what he sows. It says, a man reaps what he sows. It's a sure thing. It will happen. And also, by the way, ladies, this goes for women also. People harvest only what they plant. And it's the law of the harvest. It really is. It's simply stated this, that the law of the harvest says that in life, we will reap what we sow. And hopefully, we will reap more than we sow. And it also takes time to grow when we plant them seeds. So we will reap later than what we sow. It takes a process. There's good choices, like seeds, which ultimately bring forth good fruit as our reward. And there's also bad choices that will all ultimately bring bad fruits as our consequences in life. Most of the people would say that sowing today, they think like a needle in a thread. But that's not what we're talking about. Let's not get confused what sowing is. We're talking about how to sow and not sow. It's kind of like The Sound of Music. You know that song? No? Sowing. Come on. I'm not this old. Anyways, sowing in the wind. And specifically, So that said today, I want us to learn about what God says about us daring to plant seeds in faith. And specifically, I want to teach you God's laws of the harvest, of the laws of sowing and reaping. I'm also here to tell you today that if you ignore the laws of sowing and reaping in your life, it has potential to hurt you. And it really does. But if you wisely use these laws that we're going to talk about of sowing and reaping in your life, you're going to be blessed by it. Truly, you really are. And that's what's so cool about this. That it is, you can use the laws that I'm going to teach you about in literally every single area of your life. And we're all in different positions in life. You can use the laws of planting and harvesting in your relationships, in your health, in your finances, and your career. You can. And please, use these laws wisely. Because as I said earlier, the law of the harvest says, it's going to happen. It is. You will reap what you sow. Be careful what you sow. Has our mom and dads ever taught us that? Or grandmas and grandpas? Have you ever heard that through your life? When the symbolic meaning of the harvest, which encompasses two main areas, God's provision for us and God's blessing for others. We celebrate a harvest season every year and once a year. But we experience the spirit of the harvest all the time. With that principle on our minds and our hearts, let me go through these laws of planting and harvesting pretty quickly today. Number one, everything starts with a seed, correct? That's the first law of the harvest. Everything starts as a seed. You started as a seed. Every idea started as a seed. Every dream started as a seed. This church started as a seed. Think about that. Literally everything in life starts with a seed. In Genesis 1:11, it says, "Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And if you ever get a chance to go to the Creation Museum in Cincinnati, go there and watch that scripture come to life. So here's the question. What is a seed? What we are talking about when we're talking about planting a seed. A seed is anything that's valuable that we plant with potential to give away or to grow in return. When you give praise, there's value to that. And when you give a good advice, there's value to that. When you give away your time and your money or your experiences, there's value to that. And also, when you give away a smile, there's a value to that. Just like Lorraine. She always has a smile. So those are all the seeds with the potential to grow. A seed is anything that I can give away with potential to grow and help someone else grow. That's something that we should want to do. Your words can be seeds that you plant in people's minds. And they can grow and bear fruit. So you need to choose your words wisely, especially when you're talking to your children, your husband, your wife, your significant others, and oh yeah, your friends. Remember that it all starts as a seed. So I ask you, what kind of seeds are you planting in your relationships? Are you planting the seeds of kindness, of love, of peace, mercy, and grace? Or are you planting seeds of distrust, cruelty, hatred, anger, judgment, or yes, revenge? Are you? Are you planting the seeds that build you up, that build up, or are you planting the seeds that tear down? Remember, you will harvest whatever you plant. And it all starts with a seed, doesn't it? Number two, nothing happens until that seed is planted. It must be given away. I can't do any good. It can't do any good in a bag. How many of us used to get seeds in the mail and we put them in the drawer? Or we plant seeds from the garden and we forget to plant them and we put them in the drawer. And then next year, which is this time of the year, we pull the drawer out. Is there watermelons in that drawer? Is there flowers in that drawer? Is there any kinds of fruit in that drawer? No, because they're still in the sack or they're still in the bag. Nothing will grow from seeds that are still in that sack. Seeds are meant to be planted. Seeds are meant to be given away. And it's my prayer here today that you learn that planting and harvesting is an act of faith, because it is. It is. It's an act of faith because it's saying that when I plant that seed, I believe that something great is going to happen. Something good is going to grow because I planted that seed. And isn't that the way it is? Because I'm going to give away what I've got. I'm not going to keep it in that bag. I'm not going to give it away, and I believe it's going to produce some fruit. We need to be able to plant them seeds. Some of you are gardeners or farmers. Well, you don't need me to tell you that you can't go out and dig up that seed to see if it's growing. Right, Dean? He's a farmer. We can. But when you plant a seed, it's all covered up with dirt. And it's buried. And honestly, you don't know if that seed is going to come up. You don't know if it's going to grow. Or it's going to sprout. But that's where the faith comes in. It takes faith because you can't see it. And as a farmer, it takes faith to know that it's going to grow, because we planted the seeds. In life, because of the seeds of doubt, we sometimes think, well, what happens if it doesn't sprout? What if my kindness isn't returned? What if it fails? What if I give the seed away and nothing comes of it? What can I do to make that seed grow? The truth is that no gardener or farmer or any other person at all can make that seed grow. Another truth is, it's not your job to make that seed grow. For instance, it's not your job to change the other person. It's your job to plant the seed that has the potential to change the other person. And you know what? Only God can make that seed grow. And we talked about that in Bible study this morning. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:6 that I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it grow. You know, sometimes I see a guy running around the house watering his plants. And it's close to Finley. Happens to be Pastor Jim. Can you see that? He's got a path around his house where he's watering the seeds. But you know what, Jim? Only God can make them grow. They can. And all we can do is prepare that soil and plant that seed of faith. That's where the faith comes in. You have to believe. You have to believe. In Mark 4:26, Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like someone who plants a seed in the ground. Night and day, whether the person is asleep or awake, the seed still grows. But the person does not know how it grows. That's true. We can't see it until it sprouts. And that's the element of faith. We can't see it till that kernel's coming up out of the ground and we can row it across the field. Then we know that it's growing. But even with all the faith in the world, nothing happens until that seed is planted. It doesn't. Number three, when you have a need, you should plant a seed. Cindy and Jeff and I, Jenny, we talked about that this week. Think about it. When a farmer looks out into his field and sees no crops in the field, he doesn't gripe and complain. He plants, because that's what we do. Does it make any sense for a farmer to look out at his barren field and say, "Oh God, please make my corn crop grow"? And a barren field is a field that nothing's been done to it. It's just plain, okay? And then God also says, "Did you plant any seed?" "No. But I'm asking you in faith, God, really, make it grow. Did you plant any seed?" "No. But please make it grow." Listen to me. It isn't going to happen. It's the law of planting and harvesting. It's the law of sowing and reaping. If there's no planting, there's no harvest, is there? There's not. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 11:6, "Do your planting in the morning and in the evening. Two, because you'll never know whether it will grow well or whether one planting will do better than the other one." As a farmer talks, we diversify. We spread our risk load out. You should be planting good seeds all the time in your life because you never know where it's going to grow, if it's going to grow. But let me say something here that you need to hear. Let me get real honest with you. Some of you might not like this. Some of you think that you're waiting on God. You're not. He's waiting on you. He is. Some of you think that you're waiting on God for a job or for a miracle or a spouse or something you want. But God is waiting on you. He's waiting on you to start or to continue to plant seeds. When I have a need, I plant a seed. If you don't make a deposit, there's no return. When you go to the bank and put money in the bank, when you go, there's something to get out. But if you don't put money in the bank, they're just not going to give you money back. Number four, whatever I plant is what I'll reap. If a farmer plants a field of soybeans, what do you think he would expect to get? Watermelon? Tomatoes? I don't know. Huh? If that's what you like, but you know what? I wish, but no, that's not going to happen. It's not. Is it, Dean? If he plants corn, do you think he's going to get something or expect zucchini or something else? No. That's not what's going to happen. You're going to get life. You're going to get in life whatever you sow, whatever you plant. This is the hardest and fast rule of the universe. And it will either work for you or it's going to work against you. The farmer doesn't wonder about what's going to grow. If he plants corn, he's going to get corn because whatever he plants is what he's going to harvest. Makes sense, doesn't it? Same with you gardeners. Same thing. It's what we said earlier in Galatians 6 and 7. Chapter 6, verse 7. Let's read it aloud together. "Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. We harvest what we plant. Can we say that last little phrase there again? We harvest what we plant. Think about that. That's the truth, isn't it? It is. Let me just show you some negative examples of this from the Bible. In Job 4:8, people who plant trouble, they harvest it. In Proverbs 22:8, whoever sows sin reaps weeds. Wow. Matthew 7:2 also tells us that whatever measure you use to judge others will be used to measure how you are judged. How many of us understand that? How many of us used to talk about people all the time, and the more you talked about other people, they talk back about you? I went through that stage in my life. And that's true. What you plant, you're going to harvest. What you sow, you're going to reap. Now, those are the negative examples, but I'm going to show you some positive examples here. In Proverbs 11:18, the one who sows righteousness will reap a sure reward. That's a promise. Hosea 10:12 also tells us that plant good seeds of righteousness and you'll harvest a crop of my love. That's pretty cool too. In James 3:18, one that I really like here, that peacemakers plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. Maybe we need to be planting and be more peacemakers in this culture that we live in today. Are you getting the idea that this is not some minor message of the Bible yet? The laws of the harvest? You reap what you sow with your children, in your relationships, in your business, with your church. And you guys might have some other ideas. It either worked for you or it's going to work against you. It's true. You know, I can't plant irresponsibility and harvest success. I cannot plant laziness and harvest a reward. I cannot plant stinginess and harvest a blessing. Can I? The Bible is full of examples of this, both negative and positive. Take King Saul, for example. Israel told God that they wanted a king like the other nations. And so God gave them King Saul. He was big, strong, honorable, brave, and he planted seeds of strength and honor and bravery and respect for God and his people. But soon King Saul became full of himself, and he began to plant seeds of self-righteousness, disobedience, and destructive pride. You might remember when God ordered Saul to kill all the Amalekites, but Saul, in his disobedience to God, spared the king and some of the spoils of wars. And he took cattle and sheep and other things. And Saul reaped what he had sown. And God decided there would be another king of Israel. And so he had Samuel anoint David as the next king. And so the story goes on that God anointed David as the next king of Israel. And Saul heard about that, and he began to plant seeds of jealousy and anger and vengeance and murder. Well, to make this long story short here, David, despite some of his shortcomings and mistakes, became a great king of Israel. And Saul ended up harvesting exactly what he planted. He reaped what he sowed. And he ended up almost a madman, eventually falling on his sword in the battlefield and taking his life. Number five. I will always harvest or reap more than I plant or more than I sow. Again, this can work for you or it can work against you. This is the law of multiplications. Take the sunflower, for instance. If you put one plant, one sunflower seed, what happens? Grows up to have a big sunflower head, right? Beautiful. And look at all the seeds that's inside of that head. There's thousands of them, right? When you take one seed of sweet corn and plant it in the ground and it comes up and you get a nice ear, which will be 16 round, roughly, by 30 or 40 kernels long. So you're looking at 600 or 700 seeds, sweet corn seeds, in one ear of corn. One little seed will give back 1,000 seeds. It will, but you have to plant it. In the parable of the soils, Jesus said in this way in Mark 4:8, that some seeds fall on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, even 100 times more. And there's an exponential potential in every good seed. There is. When I sow good seeds, I will always reap more than I sow. That's important. You know, it's important that we sow good seeds in the field. And they go through a lot of testing to get to Dean and I's time in the planter that we when we plant. They're purified. Their germination content's like 99%. And that's huge. And that's important. Because we have trust that it's there. Number 6. I increased my harvest by planting more. There's truth to that. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each one should give what he has decided to give in his heart. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. That's true. You know, when we plant corn, we plant 30,000 seeds per acre. And if we want more corn to get to the 300-400 bushel, we need to be planting 35,000-36,000 seeds. So we need to plant more seeds. What the verse says is this, that you get to choose how big the harvest is in your life. We get to choose how much we produce potentially by planting more seeds. Remember in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, let it be done to you. You get to choose how much God blesses your life. If I sow or plant sparingly, I will reap sparingly. But if I plant generously, I will reap generously. There's some facts there. Because that is the law of the universe. And it applies in every single area of our life. So I have a question for you. Are you planting with great faith? Are you? I mean, doesn't it make sense that whatever you need more of in your life, that's the very thing you need to be planting in faith? If you feel like you need more appreciation, you need to start appreciating other people more. Plant seeds of appreciation. Do that. If you feel like you need more grace, then you need to start extending more grace to other people. We need to do that. Whatever you need more of, you plant seeds with a daring faith. Right, Cindy? Right, Jeff? Yep. Whatever you need more of, you plant seeds with that daring faith. Proverbs 11:24 tells us that the world of the generous gets larger and larger. And the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. If you want more, then you need to plant more. Period. And finally, the last one, number 7. And we finally have made it to the end. The best time to plant is right now. Right now. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You don't. You don't wait for a better time. The sooner the better. You don't say, when I retire, I'm going to get serious about God. No. That day will never come. We need to do it now because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. God knows our tendency. So he says in Ecclesiastes 11:4, those who wait for perfect weather will never plant seeds, and those who look at every cloud will never reap a harvest. I can testify to that. In 2020, I believe it was, Dean's going to testify to this too. It rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained, just like it's doing now. And it got to the point that it was the end of June going into July. My son and I chose not to plant because still the conditions weren't favorable that we thought, because you have a window to be able to get that harvest. So we didn't. But you know what happened in the fall? Because we didn't plant, we didn't get a harvest. We had nothing to combine. We had nothing to harvest, to sell, to give away. We didn't. Perfection paralyzes potential. For the perfection, one of these days translates to none of these days. Maybe I was trying to be more of a perfectionist because I wanted it to be just right, and I didn't. I didn't plant a seed. I left it in the bag, so it didn't grow. And when you do plant, you might see immediate results. In fact, you probably won't. But Paul knows this truth, so he reminds us in Galatians 6:9 again. Let us not get tired of doing what is right, for after a while we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. I got discouraged and I gave up on planting that crop. You know, some things just takes time. But you know what? They're well worth it. We should have planted later, but we didn't. We just didn't. So in conclusion, so here's the question for our takeaway today. And I want you to think about this. Are you going to do anything about this message or with this message? You have options. If you don't like what kind of a life that you're harvesting, then change the way that you're planting. Change it up. Do something different. Whatever you need more of, you need to give it away. That's kind of hard to do in sometimes, isn't it? When you have a need in any area, plant a seed. Do. So, go out and plant some seeds today. Plant some seeds tomorrow. Continue to plant seeds. Remember the law of the harvest. A man reaps what he sows, both good and bad. It's your choice. It's your choice what you're going to sow and what you're going to reap. Just like me in the ministry, waiting till I'm older. Stepping out in faith, acknowledging God. He was waiting on me. But I was waiting on him to give me directions. I stepped out and I went forward and I started planting seeds. Hope that makes sense to you. It does to me because I went through it. Jenny went through it. People know me, know what I went through. Am I a perfectionist at what I do right here? No. But I'm sure going to share. I'm going to give testimony. I'm going to acknowledge that God's there waiting on me. But if I want to get to him, I got to go for him. I got to plant seeds for him. Whatever I do in my life, we have to focus on him. We got to do what he wants us to do. We can't be lazy. We can't be stingy. We can't just sit back and do nothing. This church hasn't grown by Jim just sitting here doing nothing and Bev doing nothing and the family doing nothing. He didn't. They were out planting seeds, just like you and I need to do for our Christian walk, touching people's lives and doing what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be lazy couch potatoes. He doesn't. He wants us to grow potatoes. He wants bushels of potatoes and not potato chips. We know what that happens. It is what it is, folks. So I ask you today, what are you going to take from this message? I hope you understand what I'm saying. Because this friend of ours, or a friend of our family, at 50 roughly, went into the hospital. She didn't get to come to church today. It just happened. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We need to plant the seeds now, folks. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we are here in your presence this morning, Lord, I just pray that for whatever it's worth, that someone here wants to go out and plant seeds. Lord, I pray that all of us want to plant more seeds. That we want to plant seeds for you. We want to plant seeds of good wisdom and good words. And that we don't want nothing negative to come out of our mouths. That we can be truly disciples for you, Lord. And everything that we plant, we do it for you. And we glorify your name in everything that we do for you. Lord, help us to plant seeds. Help us to make that ground fertile. Help us to make that seedbed just perfect. Because then we know that you'll take care of making it grow. But we've got to step out in faith and plant those seeds to our friends, to our family, relationships, anybody around us. Lord, we just love you and we honor you and we just give you all the mercy and grace that's there to be given. And we're thankful for the mercy and grace that you've given for us. Lord, help us to glorify your name in all things. And all God's people said what? Amen. Amen. Thank you.